turn the camera around here and have Mark read some scripture for us. Mark Phillips. I always have to distinguish whether I'm talking about Mark Phillips or Mark Kennedy. We have two Marks with us. And so just bear with us while we get the camera turned over. And we'll do that and sing a couple hymns.
Isaiah 61:6. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Gentiles shall come to the light, thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nourished at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear, and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord.
And where were you reading from again, Isaiah?
Isaiah 61:6.
All right. Well, thank you, Mark.
Yes.
Appreciate that.
Yes.
Okay, Mark, we're going to be singing the old school hymnal. We use this hymnal, old school hymnal, and we're going to be singing tonight 118, I Need the Prayers. Mark, you want to start that?
I need the prayers of those I love while traveling o'er life's rugged way, that I may true and faithful be and live for Jesus every day. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I need the prayers of those I love to help me in each trying hour, to bear my tempted soul to Him, that He may keep me by His power. I want my friends to pray for me, to hold me up on wings of faith, that I may walk the narrow way, kept by our Father's glorious grace. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love.
Well, let's sing 253, Lead Me Safely. Lead Me Safely.
Heal me by thy mighty power, Lord, I pray from day to day. I am weak and pain devours all my strength along the way. Hold me by thy mighty arm when the way is dark and drear. Always keep me safe from harm. Make me know that thou art near. Save me from the tempter's power. Help me all my burdens bear. Keep me in thy love each hour. Save from evil everywhere. Make me thankful for thy grace. Keep me humble in thy sight. Guide me by thy Holy Spirit. Lead me safely by thy might. Clothe me with thy righteousness. when my toils and cares will rest. Help me, Lord, to do my best. Give my soul its long for rest. Show me, Lord, thy smiling face. When my life on earth is o'er, all the pains and tears erase. By thy presence, bless me, Lord.
Okay, the last one we're going to sing is a psalm out of the Psalter, page 37, Psalm 34C.
Page 37?
Yes.
In every time, I'll always bless the Lord. His praise will forever be within my mouth. My soul shall make his boasting in the Lord. Let all the humble hear it and be glad. Oh, join with me to magnify the Lord. Let us together raise his name on high. I sought the Lord, and he has answered me, and he from all my fears set me free. Oh, look to him, be radiant and ashamed. This poor man cried, the Lord from trouble saved. The Lord's own angel constantly encamps around those fearing him and rescues them. Oh, tasting here, we'll see the Lord is good. How happy is the man who trusts me in him. Oh, fear the Lord, oh, you he has redeemed. For those who fear him never suffer want. Young lions hunger, they may lack their food. But those who seek the Lord shall have no want.
Well, thank you, Mark and Rosette, for helping us on the singing. And glad that everyone has joined us tonight. We've got a good group of people on board already. Emmanuel Roberts, Joe John, Ezan Nakeshi, Mark Kennedy, Nina G. Mariano, and the rest of you who have joined us, I can't see on my Facebook. Now I'm going to see if I can get Brother Mark Kennedy on board with us. And also, I'm going to, let's see here. Brother Mark, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, well, welcome aboard. And it's been a long time no see. A long time no see.
Yes, anyway. I know. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it was really touch and go there for a little bit. I was ready just to go right on and get my graduation present.
Okay.
Oh. It was not good. Listen, I'm going to see. I believe that this is Carl Roberts with us. Let's see if this is right. Carl, is that you?
Yes, sir, it's me. I'm glad to know that you guys are feeling a little better. Me and the wife are really glad that you guys are feeling better.
Well, we appreciate that. And you know, it really makes you appreciate your health when you get sick like that and you feel like a dog. When you get back to the old whole self, it's like, man, all of a sudden you realize how much we've taken for granted, you know what I mean? But Well, I am happy that we have some good soldiers in the army of Christ with us tonight to kind of bear the burden. I'm gonna rely pretty heavily on both of you guys. We're going to be in chapter 25 and 26 tonight. I think we can get through both chapters. Chapter 25 is entitled, Christ's People Shall Suffer Persecution. And I'd like just to make...
Brother Larry, I have that we're on chapter 23, my sheep hear my voice.
Okay, well, that just, it would, I might say anything, okay? If I start saying I'm Arminian, you guys, you stop me.
We're gonna have
to
draw the line right there.
Or if I start shouting from the house tops that I've turned into heliocentric, you know, my whole cosmology has changed, then you better keep me straight here. Okay, I'm sorry. My sheep hear my voice. Yeah, well, that's pretty explanatory. Let's just start that. Brother okay. Mark, why don't you read 181 down through 184 and then make some comments, and then we'll have Brother Carl pick up on the top of 185 and read down through the bottom of 189. But I'm going to just go ahead and turn it over to Brother Mark and let him kind of get things rolling here.
All right. First of all, Happy New Year. We're off and running in a new year, halfway through January here. May God bless all of our saints listening in tonight. Thank you for being with us. May God bless you and meet you at the point of your need. To each and every one of our saints listening in, may God bless you in Christ's name. Okay, reading in chapter 23 of the book, God does not love everyone, but he does love his elect from everlasting to everlasting. Chapter 23, my sheep hear my voice. Just as the book of Isaiah is my favorite book in the Old Testament, along with the Psalms, so is the Gospel of John in the New Testament. The reason is because Christ so clearly teaches in the 6th, the 8th, the 10th, and the 17th chapters the doctrine of election and predestination. Many try to say this was merely a concocted doctrine by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul does certainly teach it throughout all of his epistles, and especially in Ephesians and Romans. But how can these same critics argue with Christ himself and his teachings on the same doctrines the Apostle Paul taught? The Gospel of John clearly reveals that Christ is the eternal Word and Son of God who has been revealed to all his children. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, that is Christ, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Christ taught not only that not all were his children, but that all of those who are his children must be quickened by the Holy Spirit. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. John 3, verses 1 to 10, verse 22, chapter 4, verse 14, and chapter 5, verse 21.
Well, thank you, Brother Mark. I've often relayed over the years probably one of the most staggering scriptures that God used to bring me to himself is John 6:37. And I've been accused of being redundant, you know, but spare me tonight. My redundancy continues. Okay. But when I read, all that the Father hath given me will come to me, that just blew me away. I had always been taught that all that come to me, I will receive, but they have to come to me before I do anything. And here I read, all that the Father hath given me will come to me. And so I remember when I read that, I thought, wow. So the question is, for me, did the Father give me to the Son or did he not?
Right.
And that, I mean, that really began to work on me. And it caused me to do more study of the Bible. And the more I studied, the more I realized that all those years in my upbringing of people teaching the doctrine of free will and decisionism and man picking himself up by his bootstraps and everything that goes along with the Arminian doctrine was a lie. And I remember it was a short time later that I began to read in Ephesians 1, and that had another major impact on me. You know, here I am 37 years old, and I've not even studied the Bible. And now God has put a tremendous hunger in the Bible, in my heart, to study his word. And then I got into the 9th chapter of Romans, and that one just about did me in. Okay.
Yes.
And this came after me reading Arthur W. Pink's Sovereignty of God.
Oh, yeah.
But the reason that I love the Gospel of John is just like I said, because if you study the 6th, the 10th, the 17th chapters of John and then still deny the doctrines of election and predestination, then basically what you're telling me is you don't believe the Bible. Just like if you read all of the scriptures that point to the fact that the earth is stationary and fixed and doesn't move, and the fact that God has already completed all of his works in 6 days, and then you tell me you don't buy into that, there's a problem. There's a big problem. And so anyway, we see as we go through this that Christ's teachings are either going to be embraced or they're going to be resisted and rejected all the way across the board.
Amen.
And so that's kind of an amazement right there. I mean, if you say, well, I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you don't even believe Genesis, okay, then you have a problem, because Revelation, the last chapter, says that if you add to or take away from the book, there's going to be an added plague in your life. You're going to be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. You never were one of God's elect. Well, anyway, that's this whole thing about the light shining out of darkness, you know. Now, it's really interesting, because if you do a study on the Masonic Lodge, you'll find that their whole, Albert Pike and his whole history is trying to turn good on its face and make evil good and then call good evil. That's why he calls Lucifer the light bearer, okay? And it's so interesting, because all of Luciferian doctrine is lying about Lucifer. And all of the Masonic doctrine is lying about Christ, is minimizing Christ, is denying that Jesus Christ was the eternal Son of God, and putting Lucifer in the place of Christ. And so that's why you cannot have someone who is embracing these secret orders, taking these secret oaths, and being a part of the Luciferian doctrine. By the way, you've heard people say, well, they don't even know this until they get to the 33rd degree. Well, listen, you know what? If you're going to be a part and parcel of any organization, whether it's the Masonic Lodge, the Elks Club, First Baptist Church of Mozambique, whatever, you better know what they believe. You better know what they believe. You know, you better. That's why I have had such a difficult time with people that say, well, we base our doctrine upon our creeds and confessions. We base our doctrine on our synods and our sessions are in control of our creeds and our confessions. And we also base it on our rules of decorum and all this other stuff. I got an email today. I ought to send it out to everybody. It was a classic. It was by Brother Hall. And I just like, wow. I mean, because he's talking about the Nicolaitans. And I've seen studies on the Nicolaitans, but I've never seen a study like this one. And by the way, it was so well done. And I'm not trying to exalt Brother Hall, I'm just saying that he nailed it, because when you look at the Nicolaitans and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, it's nothing more than the exaltation of the creature. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's trying to be a little pope, just like we have all these little popes running around right now in the Arminian churches, you know. They're little popes. They think they have the final say in everything. Anyway, Brother Edward Henry liked it so well. He said, Larry, I think we ought to invite Brother Hall on Talk Show to talk about this. And so we have. Now, he hasn't responded yet. I hope he comes on board. But anyway, well, Brother Mark, why don't you make any comments you have about 181 through 184, and then Carl, you do the same thing, and then after you guys make your comments, Brother Carl, just go ahead and read 185 down through the bottom of 189. Go ahead, Brother Mark.
Sure. I like your opening paragraph here in this chapter. I like the way you show that the Apostle Paul was not teaching anything that he didn't get from the Gospels that Christ himself didn't do. So the teachings of Christ and the teachings of the Apostle Paul were one and the same. And so I like how you bring attention to that in this opening chapter, and then moving into your second paragraph where you show that the Gospel of John reveals that Christ is the eternal Word of God. Oh, and all of those chapters in John where he talks about predestination and election, too. That was really good how you mentioned that. So I like that. And so Paul was not teaching anything that he didn't get from Christ. They were teaching the same thing from Scripture.
Absolutely. Hey, Brother Carl, before you jump on board, I want to acknowledge Brother Andrew Brown, who's joined us from Wichita, and also Jesse Melangera, and Brother Leon Kennedy, Jim McClarty. We're glad that you're a part of the fellowship and the study tonight. Go ahead, Brother Carl.
Okay, well, just sort of piggybacking off of what you said in John 6:37 here, and I know that I'll be sort of picking up on that here on page 185. It says, John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The only ones that are going to come to Jesus Christ were the ones that were given to him by the Father. No one else is coming to Christ. This is the work of the triune Jehovah from before the foundation of the world. And I love how Christ gives us such a full picture of the Trinity right here, and the giving of the Father and the Son receiving, and the coming to Christ is the Holy Spirit drawing us to Christ. It's like he tells Nicodemus in chapter 3, verse 8, he says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. This is a work by God. And God, he chooses who he will bestow the new birth upon. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 and verse 27, we read, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. This is a picture of the new birth in the Holy. This is a picture of the new birth in Holy Scripture in the Old Testament. I just thought that I would bring
that's
that
excellent.
Up. I just think that's so beautiful.
Yeah, just to kind of piggyback on that, I love that final. In that same passage where it's talking about, but as many received him, I like it when it ends by saying, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. He makes it very clear, had nothing to do with man's will or man's flesh, but they were born of God. I love that right there. Go ahead, Brother Carl.
Amen. Okay, page 185. I remember the first time I read the sixth chapter of John, I was in a state of spiritual shock because I had been taught totally contrary to the teaching of Christ in the chapter. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not amongst yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. John 6:37-48 and 63-66. Reprobation is further expressed by the example of Judas by Christ in the same chapter. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. John 6:70-71. Jesus continued in chapter 8 to further disclose that there are some people who are of their father, the devil. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me. I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. Indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that have told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham.
Well, thank you, brother. There's an awful lot in that, in those four pages, you know. And, you know, it's interesting to me how that nothing has changed in history as it relates to those who are worshiping Babylonian religion. The Babylonians, the pagans, always murmur against the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They always murmur against the truth. And, of course, Jesus told them, murmur not among yourselves. And then he explained to them what Brother Carl said earlier, Brother Mark has said, that God is sovereign over the new birth, over the quickening, over bringing revelation to us as to who Jesus Christ is. He says that no man can come except the Father, which has sent me, draw him. And then he also says that it is the Spirit that quickeneth. So here again we see an example of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he also says that the flesh doesn't profit anything. And there's a lot of people that, you know, they have these revivals and they have these, you know, at the end of their revivals, they broadcast how many people they got saved. They didn't get anybody saved. No man has ever saved. No man has ever saved another man. It's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. And that really needs to be proclaimed loud, far and loud. You know, the Roman Catholic Church and Pope Francis, all of his lies is unprofitable and fruitless. Means nothing. God hates it. He abhors it. And then, of course, we see that Scripture is really clear regarding Judas and how he's going to betray Jesus Christ. It was foretold on page 187. This is a further explanation of reprobation. By the way, people say, well, reprobation isn't taught in the Bible. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you can find that in Romans 9. You can also find reprobate silver referred to in the Old Testament if you want to do a word study on that. But in the 8th chapter of John, I remember when I first read that Jesus disclosed that to some of those Jews that they were of their father the devil. Think about that. You're of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. Well, they didn't take too kindly to that, and so what did they do? They do just like the Luciferian Jews do today. They go back to their father Abraham. They try to go back to their genealogy. Paul describes it as endless genealogies. Okay? You know what? Your genealogy is not going to mean anything. Absolutely nothing. The only genealogy that's important is the blood-bought. The blood-bought atonement of Jesus Christ. Well, anyway, he says, he talks about that if they were Abraham's children, now he does a shifting of the gears on them. He's speaking now of spiritual Abraham, not physical Abraham. He says, if you were Abraham's children, meaning spiritually, you would do the spiritual works of Abraham. And he says, you're not doing the spiritual works of Abraham, you're doing the satanic works of your father, the devil, is what he's saying. And they knew exactly what he's referring to because they said, we are not born of fornication. We be not born of fornication. Well, he reemphasized again that their father was a murderer. From notice here, this again is a absolute proof that Lucifer was created as a vessel of wrath, a non-elect angel. Lucifer was created as a non-elect angel. It says that he was a murderer from the beginning. From the beginning, he was a murderer. I've had many people say, well, that's not fair. Just like they talk about Esau, you know. What gives God the right to create non-elect angels? What gives God the right to create vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? And my answer to them is, who art thou that repliest against God? Because that's the way the Apostle Paul replied. We put our hands over our mouth. You know, God is God. No man has a right to call God into question. God is holy and just. And by the way, if you want to do a study on that, which just further accentuates the fact, two things. One, that God is sovereign over evil, and that he also is totally righteous in being sovereign over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one question that I often ask to people. When it says in the 9th chapter of Romans, it doesn't say the children being born, having reached the age of accountability,
right,
and having done actual sin, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. It doesn't say that. That's
right.
Just the contrary. It says the children not yet being born, while yet in their mother's womb, I'm paraphrasing,
right,
but you can read it, not yet being born, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. God's choice had nothing to do with your works, whether they were good or evil. He didn't look down through the portals of time and see that you were going to choose him. No, he
mm-hmm.
chose you before you were even born.
Yes.
He destinated you into adoption before you were even born. That gives all glory and honor to the grace of Christ. That's
yes.
what it does. It takes away all pride from the creature, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. And so
amen.
I'm gonna stop there. And Brother Mark, make any comments, and then Carl, you make any comments on that section, and then we'll continue to move forward. Go ahead, Brother Carl. I mean, Brother Mark. I'm sorry.
Sure. Thanks. I like how you start with John 6:36 in this chapter. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. I like that you started that with that, and it reminds me of the one in 1 Corinthians 12. I can't remember it right off the minute, but verse 3, that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. And so
yes.
that's the same basic idea, that God is the actuator of it, and that the elect of God are the chosen ones, and they respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit applied by God.
Amen. Go ahead, Brother Carl.
Okay. You know, you were talking about a few minutes ago about the spiritual Israel, and then I reflected back to last Wednesday in Luke chapter 19, verse 9, where Jesus tells Zacchaeus, he says, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Well, why is Christ
mm-hmm.
calling our attention to Zacchaeus being a son of Abraham? There was plenty of sons of Abraham around. There was plenty of physical Jews there. What he was calling our attention to here is that Zacchaeus was an elect. He was a child of promise.
Amen.
You know, the whole idea of free will is a Luciferian doctrine. It comes directly from Satan. Nobody has a so-called autonomous free will, okay? Us as believers in Christ, the choice was made before us, and I'm so glad that it was. I'm glad that it wasn't left unto me. I'm glad
Amen.
It wasn't left unto me. But the choice was made for us from before the foundation of the world, when we were given to Christ by the Father and then brought to faith in him by his Holy Spirit. You know, this is clearly shown in the first chapter of Genesis, in creation.
Yes.
Where, you know, this is something that God declares in his sovereignty from the very first few verses of the Bible, that this is all in his power, the salvation of a sinner, just like the creation of his world, of this
yeah.
circular flat earth. And I'm just so thankful And I just rejoice in the fact that it was not let us that this was not left up to me in any way, because if it was, I would mess it up. Amen.
Amen.
Me too. Yes.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I mess it up every day on a daily basis. And God, that's another way. I think God allows us to mess it up, or causes us to mess it up, just to show our own tendency to get in the flesh, to remind us that we're nothing but worms. You know,
yeah.
we're less than grasshoppers. But in Christ.
Yeah.
But in Christ, it's a different story. In Christ, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Well, you know, you're right on. And now I'm going to just finish reading this last. I'm just going to kind of finish up here on the top of 191. Then answered the Jews and said to them, "Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" You know, I'm going to just kind of make my comments as I go through this, and then as I finish the chapter, I'll let you guys kind of follow up and have any comments. You know, we see this right today. How many times have each one of us, Mark, myself, and I know that Carl and... It's John Hall. Is that right, Carl? John Hall? Am I getting that right? Frank Hall. I'm sorry, Frank. I'll get it straight. How many people have accused us of saying that we have a devil? Okay? You know?
What do you mean?
I mean, I'll tell you what. I had one fella that even sent an email to a friend of mine. I'm not going to mention any names. And said that Brother Edward Henry was doing the devil's work by exposing biblical cosmology. Think about it. This is exactly what was going on here. Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, hast a devil. And Frank Hall said, "I have not a devil." No, I'm just kidding. Larry Phillips says, "I have not a devil, but I honor the Father." You know, Mark Kinney says, "No, wait a minute. I don't have a devil." You know, Carl Roberts says, "Wait a minute. I don't have a devil." You know? We're not speaking of our own glory. Okay? And then he says, "If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." You know, Jesus Christ was very clear. He said that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Isn't that Jesus Christ's sayings? Yes. That's Jesus Christ's sayings. Then said the Jews unto him, "Now we know thou hast a devil." Okay? Well, it had not been revealed to these Jews as to who Jesus Christ was. That's the bottom line. It had not been revealed to them. They were looking at things from a physical. Jesus Christ was looking at things from a spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus saith unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Oh, that just worked in their crawl. I mean, they took up stones to cast at him. But, of course, Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Well, this is a showing the magnificent power of the awesome, eternal, sovereign Son of God is what it is. But these Jews, there's another scripture that talks about how they gnashed upon him with their teeth. And you probably heard this saying in secular terms, that torched my jaws. Well, that's what that torched their jaws when he attributed himself to being the very Son of God. Remember when they got ready to crucify him, they said, "Art thou the Son of God?" He says, Thou sayest it. And the chief priest rent his clothes and he said, "Do we need to hear anything more?" He's blaspheming. Yeah. Okay. Okay, well, that's basically what I have to say on that. Carl, why don't you Mark, make any comments, and then Carl, you can kind of conclude up, and we'll see if we can make some headway into chapter 24, if we have time left.
I like what you mentioned about where Jesus was throwing it back to them. You said, "I'm this." And so I'm only repeating what you said. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Brother Carl.
Yes, sir. Back in John chapter 6, verse 64, it says, "But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. He knew because he's God." He knows his sheep. You see, he knows his sheep, like he tells us, and he is known of them. And they hear his voice, and another voice they will not follow. And all that were given to him will come to him. We don't have a choice in that. We are made willing, like Psalm 110 says, in the day of his power. Jesus Christ is king, and you don't give a king a try. You were conquered by a king, and you were ruled by one. I am so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for the rest that we as believers have in Christ. Like he says, we're all going to be taught of the Lord. We're all going to be taught of the Lord. We're all going to be taught. We're all going to be taught of God, and we're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to make us free. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'll tell you. What do you think? You think we should go on, or should we just stop there for tonight? What do you think, Brother Mark?
Oh, let's see. It's that next chapter.
It's about 9 pages.
Dude, this looks kind of long, too, the next one. I think we should try next time.
Let's just visit a few minutes here and share anything else that we think is on our minds tonight. We don't have to just stick with just this book. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. I want to remind everybody tomorrow night. Are we still on is it tomorrow night we have our little discussion talk shoe, Carl?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It sure is. Yes, you're up for it. So am I.
Yes, and Brother Carl and I have been talking a lot, and there's a lot going on right now in the Sovereign Grace churches, a lot more than what people are even aware of. I got a Facebook message from a gal from England who you may or may not be aware of this, Brother Carl. I don't know if you're aware of Brother Mark, but a very well-known Sovereign Grace lady from England had a kind of a history of listening to Brother Don Fortner. And this is strictly unrelated to cosmology. And something came up. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I can tell you that it was a big, big issue with her. And she had to just she had listened to many, many, many of his sermons, and she had to discontinue listening to him. Now, I'm going to share this with everyone, and, as a warning, okay, if anyone comes to you and they are promoting that Jesus actually became a sinner, okay, that is a lie from the pit of hell. That is an attack. That is an attack on the atonement of Christ. Jesus took on our sins. He became our sin bearer. But
yes.
Jesus was not a sinner. Jesus was perfectly righteous, perfectly whole, perfectly, I mean, he would not have been able to go to the cross and purchase our redemption if he was a sinner. Okay?
That's right.
And there are those out in that movement, okay, that have gone too far in this proclamation regarding Christ being a sinner. Christ is not a sinner. He is a sin bearer. He took our sins upon himself. There's a big difference in being a sin bearer. Also, if anyone comes to you and starts talking about there was Genesis 1 is just an aftermath of what God's plan was thousands of years before Genesis 1. If anyone comes to you with that, that is a lie. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That, by the way, intelligent design, all of that argumentation is rooted out of the Kabbalah. People don't understand this. When you start studying Darwinian evolution, you will see what I'm talking about. What happens is when people get light from the light bearer will tell the light receiver, the Lucifer receiver, okay, that you have to attack real subtly. You tell people you uphold the word of God, but then you begin to attack it. For an example, there's a gentleman that had a big problem with Brother Fortner over this issue. Fortner preached a message about the fact that God had planned for thousands of years how he was going to create the universe before he created it. That's ridiculous. You can't put God in time. God's in eternity. Okay? God says, I am that I am. He spoke the worlds into existence. What I mean by that is he did it in 6 literal days, very, very succinctly.
Man,
The evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. The evening and the morning were the third day. And so when people, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to marry this whole idea of intelligent design with creation. That's what people like Dr. James Dobson tried to do. They tried to say, well, we're not a. By the way, I have a nephew who went to Mid-America Nazarene College, and he tried to convince my father of the same garbage. Can you imagine my nephew going to my father and telling my father, who believes in 6 late literal, you just don't understand the Bible. He says, you have to understand you have to understand it from the right context, Grandpa. You have to realize that you know, each day is to God is 1,000 years, or it could be 1,000,000 years or 10,000,000 years. When they start talking about millions and millions of years and light years and trillions of years, you know this is a lie from Satan because they cannot be held accountable for it.
Now,
those are some of the things that I just warn people about. Another warning. When people start denying and eternal hell, look out. Okay?
Yeah.
When people start talking about annihilation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I won't get into all of that tonight, but it's very deceptive. And by the way, it appeals to the flesh. It appeals to the flesh. It's just like if someone says, you know, I just don't believe that God would ever eternally punish someone in hell. I believe that, you know, he's going to go ahead and just destroy them. That's a God of love. Well, you can believe whatever you want to. The Bible talks about, what about, you know, Lazarus the rich man looked up in heaven from hell and beheld Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, right? And he said, you know, go to my brothers and warn them. And Christ said, you know what? They have the prophets. If they won't hear the prophets, they won't hear. Even if we send an angel from heaven, they wouldn't hear them. Well, the worm dieth not. Okay? Everlasting fire is everlasting fire. Just like everlasting life is everlasting life. Okay? It's not temporary life, and it's not temporary fire. And so that's, if someone starts teaching annihilation, run from it. Okay? Run from it. So there's a few warnings. I'm going to shut up and let the other brothers comment on anything that they've run into, or maybe warnings that they would have. I know I've gotten several messages from Brother Carl and some really good messages from Brother Frank Hall. And, you know, one of the messages that I got, I'm not sure, I think it was from Brother Frank, taken from Jeremiah. Man, I'll tell you what, we're living in a society where it's just a feel-good religion, you know. I remember when I was going in at the University of Kansas in humanistic psychology garbage, they had this saying called feel, felt, found. You probably heard it. Then they'd say, you know what? We know how you feel. We all have felt the same way, but here's what we found. You know what? Our feelings are fickle. Our feelings are usually influenced by the flesh. We need to have a regulative principle, and that regulative principle is the Word of God. And if our feelings are going against the Bible, then there's something wrong. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Mark, and then Mark, you can turn it over to Carl when you're through. Go ahead.
Okay, well, that you just about covered it, but I used to hear people saying stuff like, "I have a word from the Lord for you."
Yeah.
Well, my feeling about that is it's going to be their carnal understanding of what they think the scripture is saying, and so they're gonna muddle it to begin with, and so that's my feeling on that. And I don't see that much anymore, but I used to see that back in the 90s when the Word of Faith movement was much stronger than it is today. I don't know what's become of things like that. I haven't heard much of that anymore lately, so.
Well, you know, in Jeremiah, there's a whole chapter warning about if someone comes and says, the burden of the Lord, the burden of the Lord, don't hear them. Don't hear them. A whole chapter on that. And you know, it's right down to what you're saying. Special revelation, you know. All these people have these dreams and these special revelations and that. You know what? God cannot work contrary to his word.
Amen.
Because first of all, it's impossible for God to lie.
That's right.
That's what it says in Hebrews. By the immutable counsel of God, it is impossible for God to lie. And so if God says something, you can take it to the bank. And so if someone comes if someone comes to you and they say something that is totally in opposition to the Word of God,
yeah,
don't receive it. Just don't receive it. Just, you know, just throw it aside. Realize that it's just like you,
yeah.
Brother Carl was saying, you know,
mm-hmm.
Someone comes to you and says, well, you know what, I believe that it's perfectly in sync to hold a heliocentric view and believe the Bible. That's a lie. That's a lie. The heliocentrism says that the Earth is a globe spinning through at the equator 1,000 miles an hour, going through space at 66,000 miles an hour, and that the sun is, you know, the Earth is going around the sun. In other words, the sun is the center of the universe. This is definitely, by the way, in Ezekiel. Remember in Ezekiel when they kept, when he took them into the temple and they were all facing the sun and they were worshiping the sun? Remember that?
Yes, sir.
That's exactly what we're talking about here. Why do they want to make the sun the center of the universe and not the earth the center of the universe? They
right.
want to take people's eyes off of the Son of God and put it on sun worship, just like the Roman Catholic Church.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, I didn't mean to get off on that. Go ahead, Brother Carl. We'll let you have the last word before we bring this to a conclusion tonight.
Okay. Well, I'd like to say to everybody, God bless every single person listening. And, you know, our Heavenly Father has seen it fit by His purpose. You know, He works everything after the counsel of His own will. And He's seen it fit to let the wheat and the tares grow together until the time of the harvest. So we're all going to be side by side until the harvest time. Jesus Christ in John chapter 17, verse 17, He prays for us in this chapter. And in verse 17, He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the word of God is the only truth in this world. It's the only truth that a believer has. And it's the only truth by the grace of God that we need. And whenever people come at you with all types of signs and lying wonders with NASA and all this nonsense, you just remember that the good Lord, your Heavenly Father, has supplied for you His word, which is truth, the only truth in this world. And we just have to pray to Him by His grace that He will give us continually eyes to see Him, ears to hear Him, and a heart to seek Him by the grace of God. And I just like to close out with this quote by Martin Luther. It's peace if possible, and truth at all costs. And God bless everybody tonight.
Amen. Well, thank you, Brother Carl, and thank you, Brother Mark. And we will plan on being here Sunday morning and Sunday
yes.
night to continue our services. And then next Monday night, Brother Ed Henry has agreed to come on board. And he has suggested, we're waiting to see if Frank is willing to come on board with us. But I'm sure if he doesn't, we'll probably still talk about his sermon on the Nicolaitans. I think it's an excellent message. I'll send a copy of that to you guys if you hadn't gotten it. And with that, I'm going to just say goodnight to everyone. We're coming up on the top of the hour. And again, we want to thank all of our guests that have joined us tonight as well. So with that, I'm going to say goodnight, and God bless you.
God bless the saints, and good night. Till Sunday.
Good night, Brother Carl.